الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله لسان أول ما شاء الله who in his infinite mercy has made it possible for us to attend him here this morning. Not for anything but to remind ourselves about the religion. That's why everything we're going to discuss today is not new. It's nothing but a reminder. And that is for next year, فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And give the reminder, because the reminder benefits the believers. The topic of discussion is marital harmony in Islam. When my brother Mala Bakr communicated this topic to me, I had earlier rejected it. And my reason for rejecting the topic is very simple. I felt this is a topic that will require somebody who is experienced. At least the person that will handle this kind of topic very well should be somebody who has been married for not less than 10 years. Yes. Somebody who has been married for 10 to 15 years or more. That person will have all the required experience in marriage to be able to handle the issues and elaborate on how to ensure marital harmony. But then, as Allah will have it, we had agreed that other people take the topic only for that person to step down at the late hour. And I have no choice but to come and handle the topic. So, I want to create your indulgence to bear with me. I'm going to be a little bit brief. I don't have much to tell the topic because I don't have the required experience. I've been married for those 2 years. So, I'm also learning as far as marriage institution is concerned. But nonetheless, with the little experience I have and with the little affairs, I will attempt a discussion on the topic inshallah. Marriage, as we all know, is a very important institution in Islam. Islam encourages marriage. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj." The older version of you, whoever among you has the ability, then he should marry. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created spouses for all so that we can marry them. A marriage in Islam is meant to be peaceful. It is meant to give spouses tranquility, law, and mercy, and harmony. That harmony that we're all talking about. That is the ideal marriage in Islam. Allah says in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ الْمَوَدَّةَ وَرَحْمَةَ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, among the signs that He has created for you spouses from among yourselves, so that you find tranquility in her. And He has placed between you love, affection, and mercy. In that is what? In that are signs for those who reflect. So, the ideal marriage in Islam is meant to be harmonious. It's meant to be built on love and mercy. The relationship between husband and wife is supposed to be such that it's very close and such that it provides comfort. Alright? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes husband and wife by saying what? Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. That they, your wife, they are like clothes covering over you. Wa antum libasul lahunna, and you too, you are like garments and clothes over them. So that they, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word garment here to describe the kind of relationship between husband and wife? The husband and wife are supposed to serve to each other the same purpose of clothing to a human body. They are supposed to cover each other's fault. Just like when you put on clothes, it covers any defect that you have in your body. They are supposed to protect each other. Just like when you put on clothes, it protects you from sun, from flies, from anything. Alright? They are supposed to beautify each other's life. Just that, just the way when you put on clothes, it adds beauty to your personality. So they are supposed to be like clothing over each other. That is how the ideal marriage in Islam is meant to be. Alright? So marriage is very, very important in Islam. And that is how it's meant to be. Only that, as we all know, not all marriages are bed of roses. One way or the other, you always find problems here and there. And that's why scholars have been giving advice and tips on how to maintain marital harmony so that husband and wife will live together for long and in peace. Inshallah, we shall highlight some of those tips and advice from scholars on how to ensure and promote marital harmony in Islam. One of those tips on how to promote marital harmony in Islam is for both the husband and wife to love each other for the sake of Allah. Loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean? What this means is that husband and wife should love to make the law of Allah and obedience to Him the basis of their own law. That's what it means to love somebody for the sake of Allah. They are supposed to love to make the law of Allah the basis of their own law for each other. In essence, when they are married, they need to come to terms. They need to agree with each other that their relationship, their marital relationship, will be guided by the provisions of the Sharia. This is very important because that will help them to be able to resolve any conflict easily. Why? Because they have a common reference point. You understand? But when they don't make the law of Allah in vain for their own law, then they are bound to have difficulty in resolving their conflict. Why? Because individual perceptions differ. Isn't it? Yes. Everybody has his own way of addressing issues. Everybody has his own way of perceiving issues. But when they share a common reference point, then all conflicts can be easily resolved. Loving each other for the sake of Allah requires that they should not see their love, their marriage, to be limited to this worldly life. They should wish that their love will continue even in the afterlife. They should wish to be in paradise together. Just as Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاسِهُونَ. What Allah says, He says, هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ. Every couple should wish to attain Him. Allah says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاسِهُونَ. Verily, the companion of paradise, أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. May Allah make us among the companions of paradise. The companions of paradise on that day, being shuffling, they will be occupied, they will be busy, by the whole. Busy being what? Busy enjoying themselves. Whom wa azwajuhum, they and their spouse. Alright? Whom wa azwajuhum fi zilali, they will be in shade. Ala al-ara'i, muttaki'un, they will be reclining on well-adorned, beautiful couches in paradise. Is it not beautiful that you and your wife should be together in paradise? Of course, everybody should wish for that. So, husband and wife should not limit their love to this worldly life. They should hope and wish that their love will continue even in afterlife. But how can that be achieved? That is by helping each other to obey Allah on one hand. Isn't it? Because it is those who do righteous deeds, those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will be ascended to paradise. So, they need to help each other to obey Allah's command. They need to help each other to build their faith. Your wife should remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your husband should remind you of your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your wife and husband should help you build your iman. Do you understand? That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a very perfect example. When he said, رحم الله رجلا قام من الليل وصلى أو أصلى وأيقظ امرأته فصلت فإن أبت نضح عليها الماء ورحم الله امرأته قامت من الليل فصلت وأيقظت زوجها وصلى وإن أبت نضحت عليه الماء. He said, may Allah have mercy on a man who wakes up at night to pray the healthy prayer. And he does not just wake up alone, but he wakes his wife also. And she wakes up and prays with him. If she refuses to wake up, he sprinkles water on her face. He said, may Allah have mercy on the woman also who wakes up at night to pray and wakes her husband to pray also. And when he refuses, she sprinkles water on him. You see, meaning husband and wife will work together to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how beautiful it will be when you wake up in your house alone with your wife and children praying to help you together. There is a sense of fulfillment that you have, that you experience in that. How beautiful it is when you sit down with your wife and children and you read the Quran together after Salat al-Fajr. How beautiful it is when you and your wife sit down after Salat al-Fajr and you recite the Azkar al-Sabah for the Masa together. Is it not beautiful? Of course it is. So when husband and wife make the love of Allah the basis of their own love, okay, they work together to achieve the mercy of Allah on your heart. Okay? They build each other's faith. And that brings us to a very important point. That is, selecting your spouse based on religion. Because it is when you select your spouse based on religion that you will be able to enjoy this. But if you make other worldly considerations the basis of your selection, there's no way you can enjoy this kind of thing in your marriage. And that's why Allah, the Prophet encouraged men that when you want to marry, the men, women are married because of their wealth, because of their family, because of their image, because of this, because of that. And then what he said, alaykum bizatiddin. Alright? Go for the one that is religious. The Prophet also gave the same type of advice to parents. That is ja'akum man tawfawna dinahu wa kullakahu wa tawfihu. Alright? If somebody comes to you, whom you are pleased with what? With his religion and character, then marry him your daughter. That wa illa takun fitna. Otherwise, there will be fitna. And that is what we are saying. That is exactly what we are saying. How many people have been married? You see them religion before they are married. But after they are married, instead of them to improve in their iman, you see them lagging behind. Either because of their husband or because of their wife. We are all seeing it in our society, isn't it? I know a sister who put on hijab very well before marriage. After the marriage, the husband says he cannot live with the woman who put on hijab. He said he is a big man, he goes to fit six people, I cannot be good with you, this is not fair. Alright? And they have to keep the hijab aside. We have seen men, brothers, who were very little before marriage. Because they married the wrong wife, at the end of the day, they see them lagging behind too. So, if we want to enjoy this kind of faith or iman-based marriage, then we need to make our selection based on religion as well. So that we have to share common ideology, we share common feelings, or right? We think the same way. Another tip, or another advice that follows this, on how to promote marital harmony is for the husband and wife to be grateful to one another. Being grateful to one another. Showing each other appreciation. You see, there is nobody, there is no right-thinking human being that does not like to be recognized and appreciated. Is anybody doesn't want to be appreciated as a person? There's no right-thinking person, normal person that does not wish to be recognized and appreciated. Husband and wife also desire the same thing. You know, when you marry your wife newly, when couples marry newly, you will find that they see each other as special. They appreciate each other a lot. When your wife cooks for you, you are happy. You commend her for cooking the food. When you come back home and you meet the house, tidy up, clean, you are happy. You commend her for it. Whatever she does is special. You praise her. Likewise, your wife too. When the husband goes out to hustle to provide for the family, she appreciates him. And that's how they will continue. Gradually, till they begin to see all these things as normal. And they stop appreciating each other. That's how it happens. It will get to a point when you come back home and your wife brings food for you, you will eat and stand up and go. You will not say thank you. After all, it's like easy to cook. Yes? When she cleans the house, it's normal. You must say well done. She's the woman of the house. It's like easy to sweep the house. That's why they watch you. When the wife goes out and talks to provide, someone is the man of the house. He needs to provide for the family. And you see that gradually, they no longer appreciate each other. It becomes normal. And that is wrong. Alright? That has a negative impact on their intimacy. Negative. If nothing, the Prophet of Islam said, La yashkur maha, man la yashkur na. Alright? He is not grateful to God. One who is not grateful to him. So we need husband and wife for them to continue to maintain that cordial relationship and harmony in their family. They need to always appreciate each other. Appreciating each other will increase their love. Alright? Appreciating each other is equivalent to appreciating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made it possible for you to marry in the first place. And Allah said in the Quran, La in shakartum la azidannakum wa la in kafartum inna azabi. So when you are grateful, I will increase you. Alright? If you are grateful, I will increase you in my favor. Or if you disbelieve, if you refuse to show gratitude, then my punishment is severe. Showing appreciation to your wife or to your husband will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase his blessing in your marriage. It will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase his favor to you and your wife. And when you refuse to show gratitude, that's another inna azabi, my punishment is severe. And the punishment of Allah is not just in the hereafter. It can start even in this world. The punishment of Allah can come in the form of conflict in your family. It can come in the form of disunity, disaffection. Alright? It can come in the form of lack of progress in your life. It can come in any form. Do you understand? So if we are not grateful to our spouses, right, then we are exposing our marriages to the punishment of Allah on the other hand, and that can lead to anything. So we need to continue to appreciate one another. Right? That has a very strong way of increasing our marital bond and affection with each other. Another thing that scholars give for promoting harmony among couples is that what? Is that they create time for each other. This is very, very important. They make out time for each other. We all know, at the beginning of marriage, husband and wife will always be sit together. They are always together. They enjoy each other's company. They have time for one another. But as time goes on, it becomes difficult for them to find time for each other. They begin to find out that their relationship is far apart, either because of their work, especially when the husband and wife are the working class side. They both go out as early as 7 or 8 and they will not come back again till in the evening. And when they come back, both of them are tired. So they just eat and they go and sleep. Alright? They don't have time to sit with each other again. Now this weakens their affection. It weakens their intimacy. At times, when they begin to have children, a lot of couples make the mistake of directing their attention totally to the children. Yes, children need attention. There's no doubt. All right? But that should not be at the detriment of your spouse. Okay? That should not be at the detriment of your spouse. So, they must understand that when they begin to have children, they are now playing two roles. All right? Each of them is playing two roles now. The wife is playing the role of a wife and the role of a mother. And the husband is playing the role of a husband and the role of a father. And they must try as much as possible to manage these roles such that there will be no conflict between them. Alright? There will be no conflict between them. So they should make out time for each other. Make out time for each other. It is very, very important because if you don't create special time for each other, to spice up the relationship, gradually, boredom to infect it, to become tired of each other. Alright? So create time for each other. The time you share with each other increases your intimacy. If it's possible, travel with each other. The experiences you share together when you travel to places with each other is unique. Alright? It makes you happy with your family. Okay, visit relatives together. Alright? Go to places together. Create time for one another. That will spice up the relationship and bring it back alive. Another advice closely related to this is what is effective communication between husband and wife. Effective communication between husband and wife. This is very, very important in maintaining marital harmony. Alright? Effective communication requires a lot of things. One, it requires that husband and wife should address each other with respect. Alright? The wife should address her husband with respect. The husband should also address his wife with respect. He should not say because he is the man of the house, she is the woman, he has command over her, and he will be using harsh words when talking to her. Alright? The husband, the wife also should use kind, beautiful words. They should show up praise on each other. Alright? Commend each other. Talk to each other. When there are conflicts, when there are problems, sit down with each other and discuss. The reason why a lot of couples have problems, unresolved problems, is that they find it difficult to talk to each other. Alright? And when you don't talk to each other, you know, at times, you may not be doing what your spouse wants, but you don't know that you're not doing what they want. All right, but if they will speak out and talk, probably you will amend your way easily. But because they have refused to talk, okay, then it becomes difficult for you to know what actually they want. You get it? So husband and wife need to talk to each other more often. Unfortunately, today, I've seen a man who complained. Somebody I know very well. He complains that his wife has more time on her phone than him. And when I spoke to the wife, she gave the same complaint about her husband. And it is happening. You find that people today belong to so many groups on the social media platform. There are lots of groups on WhatsApp, lots of groups on Twitter, and what have you. And you can see somebody who sit down with his phone. A man can sit down with his wife. The wife is with her phone. He's doing with his phone. And both of them are chatting. All right? Participating in group discussion. But they cannot talk to each other. Father, that. They will lie down on the same bed. This one will face this side. This one will face this side. This one will their phone. And they will spend hours chatting on the phone. But they cannot chat with each other. Father, that. You see what phones have created for us in modern times. Now, this is wrong. Alright, this is God. So find time to communicate with one another. Alright? Your wife or your husband should be your best friend. You should enjoy discussing with your husband or wife more than participating in group discussions in the phone. We understand. So effective communication is very important. Addressing each other with respect, with love, alright, using beautiful words to call each other. That is what will cement your relationship and increase that affection between you. Another advice that scholars give on how to maintain marital harmony is being conscious of the influence of third parties. Being conscious of the influence, negative influence of third parties. A lot of marriages are pulled out because of the influence of third parties. Of third parties. And that is why whenever there are issues in the family, husband and wife should try as much as possible to resolve their conflict between themselves. Don't involve third parties. Don't be in a hurry to involve the third parties. Because you may end up getting the wrong advice when you involve somebody. I know a brother who, up to today, he blames the puna of his marriage on a third party whom he invited to settle him and his wife. Since the day he brought in that third party into his marriage, he did not throw any peace in his marriage. He divorced his wife. And every day he keeps on saying that he regrets bringing this person into my mind because of wrong advice. And that's why even in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the steps to be taken to resolve conflict between husband and wife, if you follow the verse very carefully, you will see that third parties came at the last end. Allah says in the Quran, وَاللَّهِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ بَعِذُوهُنَّ Alright? Then the last stage is what? Is that for in khiftum shikaka baynihima, baba'at wa hakaman in ahlihi wa hakaman in ahliha. In yurida islahan, you won't take it long enough. You can see Allah says those that will have problems, those people that you tear your shoes from there, you should be there. Alright? And the satisfaction from there. What do you do? It's a ba'iduhunna, admonish them on your own. Sit down with your wife and admonish one another. Okay, if that does not work, walk through Munda, alright? Leave, refuse to share the same bed with them. Alright, if that does not work, walk through Munda, beat them lightly. If all these steps do not work, that's why you now send, okay, you now send a representative. Send a representative from her family, another representative from your family, let them sit down and try to mediate between you. So you can see involvement of third parties came at the last stage. Alright, it came at the last day. So we need to be careful with the way we involve third parties in our family. because they can be very, very destructive. They can be very, very destructive. Now, another thing for promoting marital harmony is for the husband and wife to try as much as possible to be the comfort of each other's eyes. Your wife should be the comfort of your eyes. Your husband should be the comfort of your eyes. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he talks about Ibad al-Rahman, the qualities of the servant of Allah, the most beneficial. Among their qualities, what did he say? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَجْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. They are those that supplicate to Allah. They say, رَبَّنَا أَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَجْوَاجِنَا. O Allah, give us, right, spouses, وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا, and offspring, who we want, قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ, who the comfort of our eyes. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and make us to be role models, right, and leaders over the pious life. Your husband, you should be the answer to this supplication. Okay? When you supplicate, when your husband supplicates to Allah to give her, when your husband supplicates to Allah to give him the comfort of his wife, the wife should be the answer, should be Allah's answer to that supplication. The husband should also be the last answer to the wife's supplication. Be the comfort of each other's eye. How do you be the comfort of your spouse's eye? Two several ways. Number one, by taking care of your look. Alright? By appearing presentable in the front of your spouse. A woman should always adorn herself for her husband. She should always tidy up herself, beautify herself, that is why when the Prophet of Allah was describing Al-Mar'at al-Saliha, the righteous woman, among her qualities, he said, in nazara ilayha sarrati. She told woman that when her husband looks at her, he is happy to look at her. Alright? How will you be happy when you look at your wife? It's when she's looking beautiful. So women will not tidy up themselves until they are going out. They tidy up themselves for people outside, not for our husband. Alright? So she will not apply makeup and paint effective until she's going outside. Alright? So women have become, it has become their tradition to the extent that somebody once told me that they have a small baby. Whenever the baby sees the woman barking, applying makeup, already the baby knows that the woman is going out. So the baby will be crying that he wants to follow the woman. Because the baby has already come to realize that this only happens when my mom is going out. Alright? And that should not be the case. That should not be the case. Apologies to our sister. Alright? It is happening. Likewise, the man also. Okay? A man should also adorn himself for his wife. Ibn Abbas was quoted as saying, I like to adorn myself for my wife just the way I like her to adorn herself for me. Okay. So, a man should also adorn himself for the husband. How do you think your wife will be if you wake up in the morning, for example, at the morning, and you take your bath, and you open your door, you put on one of your best clothes, you put on your car, you tell your wife, come and check with my car. Is it well positioned? Say yes. Look at your perfume, you apply this very fine perfume. You put on your wristwatch, and the woman will ask, wondering, where are you going? And after all the makeup and everything, and you say to her, I did this just for you. Won't you be happy? What are you laughing? Yes. Won't you be happy? Yes. You said, I'm not going anywhere today. But I did all this just for you. What are you happy? Yes. You see, this kind of thing fight off the relationship. Alright, it increases love. Alright, it increases affection. Okay. So this is comfort of the spouse eye. Look good to each other. I used to tell you, the Prophet of Islam said, if you are going out on the street and you see a woman that attracts you, go back home and look at your wife. Because whatever that woman has, your wife also has. Come back and look at your wife and there's no network. It's a problem. Alright? So, let us try to appear good in the presence of our husband. That's one way to be the comfort of your wife or your husband's eyes. Another way is to support each other. Okay? Support each other during hard times and challenges. You should see your wife as somebody that you can fall back on whenever you are facing hard times. Somebody that will give you support, psychological support. A wife should also see her husband as somebody that she can fall back on whenever she's facing difficulties. Somebody that will give her that psychological support. Imagine the kind of psychological support that the Prophet got from his wife during challenges. I'll give you two examples. Just two examples. Look at how Khadija was able to, you know, stabilize the Prophet when he had an encounter with Angel Jibril. You know, after his first encounter with Angel Jibril in the cave of Hira, when Angel Jibril came and brought him the first verse of the Quran, Iqra, after that encounter, he did not see Angel Jibril again. He stayed for a very long period. There was no revelation. Yes. To the extent that he became interested in seeing Angel Jibril again. It was a very strong experience he had in that first contact. But after that, that contact ceased. Alright? To the extent that he kept on going to Cave Hira, God with Hira all the time, hoping that he would have contact with Jibril again. Until one day, he said, I went to Cave Hira. And after staying there to meditate, I was on my way going back home. And all of a sudden, I heard a very loud voice calling me, Ya Muhammad. For I said, I looked in front of me. I couldn't see anybody calling me. So I looked behind me. I didn't see anything. I looked sideways, right and left. I didn't see anybody. He said, فَرَفَعَتُ بَصَرِي إِلَى السَّمَعِ. Then I raised my face, my eyes, to the up. Alright? فإذا الملك الذي جاءني بالحراء جالس على الكرسي بين السماء والأرض. That I saw that angel that came to me in Kizmira sitting down on a chair in between the heavens and the earth. He said, I was terrified when I saw him. I was terrified and I ran away. I ran back to my wife, Khadija. And when he got home, he was saying to Khadija, Zammiluni, Zaspiruni, alright, cover me up, cover me up, cover me up. And Khadija covered him up. Then in the Jibril appeared to him again and revealed to the Mudassir, Ya Ayyul Mudassir, whom the Angel, the Rabbah, the Mudassir, or the Abbah, the Sayyid, to the end. Alright, after that, Khadija asked him, what is the matter? And he narrated, and he said, لَقَدْ خَشِيْتُ عَلَى نَفْسِ. He said, I'm afraid for myself. I had a feeling that danger will befall me. And what was the first thing that Khadija said to her? He said, no, never. لَا يُخْزِيْكَ اللَّهُ عَبَدًا. Allah will never disgrace you. And she began to enumerate his beautiful qualities. Then you are somebody who speaks the truth. You are somebody who assists the poor and the needy. You are somebody who entertains the guests. You are somebody who assists those who are in calamity. You are somebody who maintains cordial relationship with your relatives. These beautiful words had a very strong impact on the Prophet. it helped, it went a long way in stabilizing him at home, even before she took him to her uncle, Barak Abin Nawfal. So that is how couples should be to each other. They should be such that they provide, you know, support for each other at their trying times. Look at what happened again with another of the Prophet's wife, Umm Salama, radiallahu anha. During the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet left Medina with his companion to go and perform Umrah, and they were blocked by the Kuffar, they were prohibited from entering Makkah. Already, you know, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place at what year? In the 6th year after Hijra. So the companions, those who migrated to Medina, have not seen Makkah with their eyes for the past 6 years. Alright? They have that desire to see Makkah again. That's their home, especially the Muhajirun movement. And when the Prophet had a dream in Medina and saw himself performing tawaf and informed them, they were all happy that, inshallah, we are going to see our home again. There's no place like home, you know? But here they are. They have been blocked from entry. And the treaty took place. That agreement between the Prophet and the Quraysh. And you know that treaty was not in favor of the Muslims, physically. Even though Allah knows best that that was the best for them. But clearly, when you go through the treaty, the terms of agreement, the Muslims were cheated. I hope you all know the terms of agreement in that treaty. You know? There were 3 to 4 terms of agreement. Number one, it was agreed that the Prophet will not enter Makkah. He must go back to Medina. And that if he wants to perform Umrah, he will not come there. He has to wait for the next year, that's the 7th year, when he will come back again. So it means all the wahala they went through in traveling from Makkah, from Medina to Makkah, was in vain. That time there was no car, and the weather in Saudi Arabia is very harsh. So we then travel by foot, come on camel. You know how camel works, very slowly. Even sitting on camel alone, it's enough trouble. And here they are telling them they have to go back, and the Prophet agreed. Okay? Second time of agreement. It was agreed that if anybody among the Muslims in Medina decides to commit apostasy, to abandon his religion and run to the Islam of Makkah, then he will be allowed to do so. On the other hand, if anybody among the people of Makkah decides to accept Islam within this period and decides to run away from Medina, the Prophet will return that person. Is it not cheating? It's cheating. If anybody among the Muslims commits apostasy, abandons Islam and tries to become a kafir, he should be allowed to go to Makkah. If anybody among the people of Makkah accepts Islam and even runs away to Medina, the Prophet will respond that person back to Makkah. What did I agree? The companions were angry. How can we be accepting this kind of stuff? But, you know, they accept to the end of the term. Now, after that, before now, all of them, they had already put on their ihram. They have took intention of performing Umrah. And at the end of the day, the Prophet said to them, so since we are not committing this Umrah, we are not going ahead with this Umrah, let us do what we call tahallul. Alright? Let us now remove the ihram. Bath our hair. As if we have performed Umrah. Those of us who came with animals, let us slaughter our animals. Do everything as if we have concluded the Umrah. Anyone who has concluded the Umrah. The companions are just sitting there looking at the Prophet. So I was talking to them. Remove your ihram. Bath your hair, slaughter your animals. All of them are just sitting looking at it. I think somebody has died for them. They just looking at it. The Prophet became angry. He is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is commanding his companions, and all of them are just looking at it. Nobody is even doing anything. Angrily, he went back into his tent. And when Umm Salama saw him, she knew that he was angry. And she asked him, what is the matter? And he related to her what has happened between him and his companion. What did he say to him? Send them below. Go out, get somebody to mark your own hair for you, get your animals and slaughter it. Remove your ihram. Leave the companion below. Alright? And he took her advice. He went out, called the barber to barb his hair. As soon as the man started barbing the prophet's hair, everybody stood up and started barbing their hair too. As soon as the prophet started slaughtering his animals, everybody started slaughtering their own animals too. And that was how that prophet was called. Through the advice of who? His wife. That is how couples should be with each other. Alright? They should be ready to provide support. That way, if your wife is such that she provides some support for you, she will be the comfort of your eyes. If a woman has a husband that provides this kind of support for her during her times of challenges, during her hard times, that husband will be the comfort of her eyes. So this is very, very important. Another way to be the comfort of your eyes is to provide encouragement. Be the source of inspiration and motivation to yourself. Help your husband or your wife to achieve success in their endeavor. Because I used to say to people, I remember when I was in school, one of the evening here. In my class, we had some married women with children who were studying with us. Wallahi, some of them performed better even more than the single ladies in the class. A married woman with children facing academic challenges, yet she performed academically better than single ladies that are not married. That wouldn't have been possible if they did not have support from their husband. If the husband is making the house a hell for her, there is no way she can concentrate on it. Is it possible? Not possible. So, help your wife to achieve success in whatever they are doing. Wives will also help their husbands to achieve success in whatever they are doing. If you don't provide that support for your husband, there's no way he or she will be successful. You understand? There's no way he or she will be successful. Look at the story of Prophet Noah, for example. You see, Prophet Noah had a wife, isn't it? But his wife did not accept Islam. All his efforts to invite his people to Islam, he deceiving his wife that he should be going about telling people that he's a madman. That is not the people. The same thing was applicable to Prophet Lot. You know the people of Lot? There are people who were engaged in Sodom. His wife did not believe in him. She did not assist his cause. In fact, it was narrated that, you know, the people of Lot prohibited him from entertaining male guests in his house. Not only did they prohibit him from doing that, inviting people to Islam, and warning them against sodomy, even he himself, they prohibited him from entertaining male guests in his house. They told him, anytime you have any male guest from another community in your house, you will come and forcefully commit sodomy with them. It's apparent that whenever he has a male guest in his house, it is his wife that will even go out and inform the people that he has received a male guest. If he locks the door and stops his wife from going out, what does he do? He will go and ignite fire in their house. When the people in the town see smoke in that house, they know that it's a signal to them that he has received a male guest, and they will come. You can see how his wife is working against him. And also, at the end of the day, not even one person believed in Prophet Lot till he left that community and Allah destroyed that community. So, we will succeed more in our endeavor when we provide support to each other. Husbands should support their wives to achieve their success in their endeavor. And this requires sacrifice. It requires a lot of sacrifice from both the husband and wife. A man, for example, whose wife is going to school, will have to sacrifice a lot. Or a man who permits his wife to work, the teacher in the school, for example, and she has to go to school 7 o'clock, and maybe she will not close till 4 o'clock. It means one day the man will come home in the afternoon and they will go to the table, because the woman is at work, or the woman is in school attending lectures. It will require sacrifice. All right, they will have to sacrifice some of their rights. All right, to make their husband or wife succeed. Likewise, a woman whose wife is in a particular line of duty that requires him to be busy all the time. As much as sharing time together is important, they will have to sacrifice some of their enjoyment so that they can support their spouse. All right, so that they can support their spouse. So this is very, very important. That's how spouses can be the comfort of each other's eyes. All right, they look good to each other. They support each other during time of difficulty, and they provide us motivation and encouragement to one another. Another way to promote harmony in the marriage is to fight some three basic enemies. There are three dangerous enemies to marital harmony that every couple must fight and try to keep them away if they must succeed in their marriage. Number one is what? Number one is ego. They must fight each other's ego. They must be ready to humble themselves before one another. A husband should not feel too big to admit his mistake in the presence of his wife. Yes. When you are at fault and your wife points out to you that you have acted wrongly, be ready to say, yes, I am sorry. If you say, I am sorry, it's just three letter word. I am sorry. But it's very difficult on the tongue at times. It's very heavy on the tongue. If you say somebody, say you are sorry, and you think it's feeling somehow. I am sorry. Three letter word. Very simple on the tongue. But it's difficult to come out at times. And the lack of it can cause a very big damage at times. Because husbands and wives must fight their ego. They must calm down for each other. The wife must not contest for leadership of the house with her husband. There cannot be two captains on the ship. There can't be two captains. Yes. One must step down for the other. Because you cannot contest for life or contest for leadership with your husband. You must admit that he is the man of the house. He is the leader of the house. So they must fight each other's ego. Alright? They must fight their ego. They must be willing to admit their error. They must be willing to apologize to each other. Okay? This is very, very important. The second basic enemy is the shaitan. They must try as much as possible to identify the loopholes that Shaitan may want to take advantage and cause disunity among them. Whenever they are quarreling, whenever they are arguing, they must be careful of Shaitan, because Shaitan is doing all his best to separate every couple. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said Shaitan usually sends his, you know, his people are to send his companions to the world to go and create problems. And when they come back, they'll be asking them, you, what did you do today? Someone said, I did it. I made this person to commit sin. I made this person to drink alcohol. I made this person to commit fornication. And you'll be saying, you're not honest. You're not honest. Then that one that will say that I did not leave those two couples until I was able to separate them. That is why the father that he will wear crown on that one. That you are the one that has achieved the law. That is his target. You got the money. So say the shaitan, that one will say, I was with them. I kept on insisting, trying until I was able to separate them. And then you're fine. So we must know that Satan is looking for how to separate you and your spouse. And so you must not give room for that. Alright? You must not give room for that. You must not, you know, argue unreasonably. You must not quarrel unreasonably. Alright? You must be able to control your anger. Because that is the time Satan takes advantage, alright, and creates problems. So you must be able to control your anger. Alright? And you must be willing to accept your error and make amendments. The third enemy that they must fight is what I call evil eye. You know evil eye? An eye. In Arabic language. Evil eye. What's evil eye? A lot of people don't know what evil eye is. And some even misunderstand evil eye for witchcraft. Evil eye is not witchcraft. Alright? What is evil eye? It is a natural creation that Allah created in some people. It's a natural creation. It is not in their fault. Those who have evil eye, it's not their fault. It's a natural creation. Okay? Natural creation. It is thought that the person who has an evil eye, when he sees something that impresses him, and he says, how wonderful is this thing? That this is very good. Just by that expression, just for the fact that he's impressed with what he has seen, that will create destruction in that thing. Do you understand? If person did not intend to destroy that thing, it is not his intention. That's why I say it is different from witchcraft. The witch, you know, intentionally wants to bring harm, isn't it? And they apply different acts of singing. But the man with evil eye, his intention is not to bring this destruction. Innocently, he expresses his admiration for something. And that alone is enough to create destruction in that thing. It was very prevalent among the Arabs. The Arabs, some of them were taught that it was narrated that if some of them is sitting down in front of his house, and a beautiful camel, fast, alright, while looking, passes in front of him and says, "Cat, this camel is very beautiful." The camel will just fall down and die. Even among the companions of the Prophet, some of them have it. There is that hadith of that companion that there was a time the Prophet was traveling with the companion and they got to a point and they alighted for a while. And one of the companions went behind in a particular place. You know, just to shower. Alright? But it was thought that the place is not well covered. So another companion was passing and he saw this other companion passing. He has removed his clothes and he had a very beautiful skin. And he said, "Kai, this skin of this man is very beautiful." And just by saying that, you know, that companion fainted. They rushed to the Prophet and invited the Prophet. And he said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know." And he said, "If anybody made any comment about him," he said, "Yes, this man made this kind of comment." And so he said that those of you who have evil eyes, when you see something that impresses you, say, "Barakallahu fi," or invoke the blessings of Allah. Don't just express admiration, but invoke blessings of Allah in it. That way, you know, prevent that harm to take place. And God commanded that man to perform ablution. And they use the water and pour it on that man and you to wash his face and he woke up. So the evil eye is real. Now, how some people, how do we expose ourselves to evil eye? We expose ourselves to evil eye through different ways. Somebody will sit down and be telling you about how beautiful his wife is. He'll be telling you about how wonderful his children are performing in school. And you don't know who you are talking to. The thing is worse today. Some people's life from beginning to the end is on the social media. When he buys a car, he puts it, latest development, "I just bought this car." He will snap himself and his wife and children, couple of the year, celebrating 5th year anniversary. Alright, when they are traveling en route to Dubai, from Dubai to Saudi Arabia to perform Umrah, him and his wife will put on Ikram and Ikram is his wife. And you don't know who is happy with you, you don't know who is not happy with you. The other side. Somebody may look innocent and say, MashaAllah, beautiful couple. That's enough to create problem in your home. You understand? So we must be careful with when we expose our lives to others. Alright? We must be careful with the way we expose our lives to others, not to protect ourselves from the evil eye. Above all, they are patient around us. Alright? Allah seeks to maintain marital harmony. He is to be patient with one another. Patience is very, very important. You know, when couples are getting married in their ulima, and they come to that section where they will say people to come out and give advice to couples. And you say, well, that comes out to be saying, I'm advising them to be patient with one another. At that time, the couples don't understand what it is. It's when they begin to live with one another. First year, second year, third year, the period of honeymoon is over. That is when they will begin to realize that marriage is not a bed of roses. There are challenges in it, and it requires patience, real patience, to be able to forge ahead. Because nobody is perfect. You can never find 100%. No husband is 100% good, and no wife is 100% good. All right? We must be ready to complement each other's shortcomings. You understand? They must be ready to be patient with one another. That is why the Prophet of Allah said that a woman is created from the rib, and the rib is crooked, not straight. But if you try to straighten it, you will break it. Right? If you can enjoy her and benefit from her as she is like that, do. Alright? But if you try to straighten it, you will break it. And instead of breaking it, it's impossible. In another hadith, he said, if you dislike one character in her, you will be pleased with another character. Nobody is 100% good, and nobody is 100% bad. Alright? Rather, everybody has good sides, and everybody has bad sides. Husband and wife should take full advantage of their good sides and help one another to correct their bad sides. Alright? So they need to be patient with one another. They need serious patience for them to be able to live together under the same roof. There's no patience, then there will be conflict all the time. These are some of the things. There are many others. These are the few that I can enumerate for now. We pray Almighty Allah will grant us harmony in our house. We pray Almighty Allah will grant us spouse who will be the comfort of our eyes. May Allah bless our marriage. May Allah bless our marriage with offspring that are blessed. And may Allah solve our problems. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته